Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
On the Mets rolling 4-1, David Peterson rolling, and then a collapse. That can't happen. The Braves were dead on the verge of being two touchdowns back in the NL East, and finally sitting there watching it, not feeling intimidated by that team or that building or anything about it. I felt like the Mets finally had the upper hand. Building off of what they did a year ago on that final day of the baseball season in that game where they clinched the wild card spot. You could feel it. It was different. And then they implode. It can't happen. Not to the Braves. They were dead. And the Mets BT gave them some life yesterday.
Atrocious loss. Absolutely gross performance by the Mets when it mattered. But to me, I don't think it should matter that it's the Braves. I know why you say, I know the history, obviously. But the way the Mets played last night, if they did that against the Rockies or the White Sox or the Padres or the Red Sox, it would have been equally as gross. I mean, that was repulsive. Guys not knowing how to run the bags, catcher not knowing which base to throw it to, possibly some managerial decisions we could get into. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news is it's one game. But I got to tell you, like, looking, my greatest concern about the Mets, there were two things this year before this four-game skip. Number one, was the bottom third of the order good enough? Right? Okay. And then did they, what was what we were seeing with the arms, was that real? Well, now there's some injuries. We know about that. Bottom third of the order not hitting. But I know why you fired up because of the Braves, but I don't think it should matter. Like, I'm watching that. I'm like, this is an absolutely epic implosion by the Mets. That was gross.
Right, but until the eighth inning, it was a near-perfect game.
So what? It's how it finishes.
Yeah, well, but that's, it can't happen to the Braves. Soto, Homer, they had their best pitcher out there throwing a gem. I have no issue with Mendoza leaving David Peterson in to start the eighth inning. I have no issue going to Reed Garrett when he did. I have an issue with the performance. I have an issue with Francisco Alvarez. Those are guys who I blame for this one. You want to say the offense needed to do more? I mean, maybe. I don't think the Mets are a bad team. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about they had a chance to kill the Atlanta Braves. And worse than just the loss last night, which was unacceptably bad, now Chris Sale is looming tonight against Paul Blackburn.
Yep.
Okay, so now, I mean, you would think, chances are, the Braves are going to win tonight. And if that happens and the Mets already lose this series with a chance of getting swept on Thursday, on Thursday tomorrow, that can't happen. So to me, it is more about the Braves. I'm not worried about the Mets as a team overall. I'm more worried about that performance last night against this damn team.
There's a lot of ups and downs. Listen, I was saying this about the Yankees the other day. Now, we'll get to the Yankees later. I might have a little bit of a different opinion today about the Yankees based on they can't score a run. But I do hold on to a general concept. It is a long season. It's long. It's often fun with these teams. There's a lot of talent. Usually never as good as you look on your best day, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's bad on your worst day. Like, the answer is somewhere in between. But I haven't been as convicted in these Mets being these world killers, maybe as much as others. Now, understanding that they have some talent, understanding that they're a pretty good team, the one thing about these Mets is they kick the ball all around the field. Whether it's Pete who can't flip it to somebody at first base covering, whether it's Soto on skates, not as much this year, but it's going to be coming. And you know that he's an average defender at best. And Alvarez, to me, is one of the biggest disappointments. I heard you going on Volpe, and I'll respond to that later. Make sure you say that IR for your boy Alvarez, who suddenly can't hit. He's been around 4 years like Volpe. He's hitting 220, doesn't know how to throw the ball. He didn't even know what base to throw the ball. And to me, last night, of all the things, and this has not been reflective of who they are all year, I want to be fair to the Mets. Like, there was a comedy of errors, and we don't see that too often. But of all the things that would drive me nuts if I was a Met fan, it was what Juan Soto said after the game. Dude, can you project an ounce of leadership and understand that it was you who messed up? Listen, we could all, you played this level, played college, played high school. I don't know a person, including me, who once ever looked to an umpire and said, oh, man, should I run? Should I go? Dude, the ball's in front of you. Now, I understand that, like, if it's a hit and run and you slide and you don't know where the ball is, I get things are moving quickly. The ball was in front of you. So not only did Juan Soto get picked off, not only did Juan Soto look like a little leaguer on the bases last night, Juan Soto couldn't even put the thumb in his own chest.
Yeah.
Even after the game, he's blaming the umpires. Dude, that is a bad look. That is 1,000% Soto's fault. There's no question.
I have zero issue with Juan Soto.
You should, because the ball's right in for him.
He's
not
on base. He's not getting paid to base. Here's what I would say about Soto. I don't need him to run the bases. Like, he's trying to steal more bases this year.
Yeah.
I don't need him to try to steal second base with Pete Alonso up. So, now, it happened. You're going to get caught stealing. He's had, what, 8 stolen bases? He was 8-for-8. He got caught stealing once. What, I'm going to ridicule
him? No. I didn't even really. Yeah. I mentioned that, but the big play is to right field with Acuna. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the ninth inning.
Okay.
Just look up. Did he catch it? Did he not?
Yeah. Okay, but maybe it was a tough play. I thought did you see the Acuna? He had, like, some kind of thing coming out of his glove, which looked like an outfield chart, maybe, which is white.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Soto maybe, he didn't say this after the game. I was hoping he maybe would say that because I was thinking along those lines. But when Acuna's glove goes up against the wall, you see like a white thing, which could appear to be a ball depending on how far you are, but it was some kind of sheet that he had in his glove.
So it's all the tendency shorts. They usually keep it in their pockets. Yeah. They'll look at it or in their hat.
Coming out of his glove, which could maybe be confusing. Should he have been Soto listening to his base coach? Or
he
whatever?
Was telling him, get back.
Saying he's looking at the ump. I can't go nuts
about
that.
But he said that. He was blaming the ump, Sal. Yeah, he was saying the ump didn't give you a decision.
Oh, he didn't.
Use your eyes, Juan. It's right in front of you.
But he didn't. He couldn't tell.
Well, that's his fault. That's why I'm saying I got to call him out for it.
He had 2 hits, including a tone-setting homer, and was on base 3 times. So I'm not going to pick on Soto. Now, Alvarez, I will. He's got his head up his rear end. He can't hit, and I would let it go if it's just the offense. And I'm thinking, watching along, I'm like, all right, well, his defense isn't bad. And then that happens. And then even worse, the manager excused it afterwards.
Yes, he did.
So that, to me, is a problem. Alvarez has been a zero at the dish, and I mean a zero at the dish.
Awful.
And if you're now taking that behind the plate with you, and by the way, maybe that throw to second, which was just, like, that to me is Little League. Dude, you're taught to run toward the runner. You have him dead to rights. And at the very least, you throw to third base, send him back to second. You don't throw behind him. And then Mendy afterwards like, no, that's the right play. What? That's the right play? No, it's not. That's the wrong play. And then he has the gall to change the pitch call on Reed Garrett.
Yes,
Garrett's been one of their best relievers this year.
And Reed said the right thing. I think he took the bullet for his catcher last night. He's like, well, you know, he went with my wipeout pitch. I got to trust him. That's a bad look, too. Alvarez is a disaster this
year. Send him down. It's not a knock on somebody saying that he's not performing well at the major league level, a young player with great expectation. Send him down so he can learn how to play the game the right way so you don't have this habit been on a team that's trying to win a damn division for the first time in 10 years. It can't happen. So Alvarez, to me, is the biggest culprit. I know people are going to nitpick on Soto or people nitpick on Mendoza's decisions. I'm sure people go after Alvarez. Overall, whoever you want to blame, that can't happen. not to the Braves, not in that spot. Now with Chris Sale looming, no Cole Dicing going to take his spot tonight. The Mets are unraveling a little bit
McGill's
here.
McGill's banged up. Yeah. Not that you love McGill, no, but I mean, you're talking about strength and numbers. Yeah. Those numbers dwindling here by the day. Depth, Mets are banged up right now.
Takes a hit right there, but it was all they had to do was hold on to a 4-1 eighth inning lead. That's all they had to do. And then all that stuff would go away. Okay, three-game losing streak. Snap, they won the first game at Atlanta. Braves aren't intimidating. Braves are dead. Two touchdowns back. And they blow the game in that fashion, which will now lead to the, you can't help but feel, uh-oh, again. You can't help it. For a team that's 12 games back in the division, still not sniffing 500, you can't help but feel, uh-oh, the Braves might still have life.
That's what I was going to ask you. All right, so we're both revved up today. Awful loss. And we'll be revved up with the Yankees, too. Rough patch. Yeah. Rough patch with baseball.
I haven't won a game since Friday. Either
Dude,
team.
It's been absolutely gross, okay? So, for a second, let's breathe. I got an important question for you.
Yeah.
Let's breathe. Let's feel it. Do you think this changes the Mets' season?
No. Deep down, no, I don't. I think it might change the Braves' season.
Well, if it changes the Braves' season, it's probably going to change the Mets' season.
No, I mean, the Mets would really have to go. Now, these are important 10 games here.
This is the season, the stretch.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it's the season. I would say that it's the division. I think the Mets are going to have, if you want to be taken seriously as the, see, here's the difference with the Mets and the Yankees. The Mets need to prove themselves in the regular season. The Yankees don't have to do that. They were held to a higher standard, like it or not. The Mets still are in their infancy stages here of building, trying to build a sustained winner. Yeah. And it should not be accepted to just say, well, okay, they're a wild card team. They barely make the playoffs in their history two consecutive years. And how about you start winning some divisions? Why should we look at the Braves as better or the Phillies as better? And the Mets, for the most part, I mean, they still have the best record in the National League, which is why I'm not going completely nuts today.
It's dialed down south.
It's more, yeah, exactly. It's more because it's the Braves. So I'm not going to go nuts about their season, but I do think this 10-game stretch, they have a chance, and still do, even with that horrific loss last night, to put the foot on the floor of the Braves once and for all and take them out of the equation, and then it's the Mets and Phillies. And obviously they'll play the Phillies this weekend. But yeah, this is a big stretch for me as far as how you look at the landscape of the NL East.
You could have deleted the Braves from the equation last night. You really could have. So we'll see what happens here today. We'll see what happens in the third game. It's not a good pitching matchup. The Braves obviously align their pitching for this. But think, and we'll get to the calls here. I know people are fired up. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. But I did say that to me, whether it's the White Sox or the Reds or whomever, the optics of last night would bother me equally, independent of the rivalry with the Braves. Like, I got to say one more thing about Alvarez, because we're focused on the throw to second base, right? Which is literally, you're right, run at him or obviously throw to third and make him retreat back to second. That's rudimentary, basic one-on-one stuff. If you don't know that, can't help you. All right, but what to me is even more disconcerting, because it's a reflection of a little bit of maybe emphasis on the wrong thing. And me and Hoff were talking about this before the show. One thing, maybe the only thing at this point, that Alvarez is really good at is framing. He is fantastic framing the baseball. But if you look at the sequence before the play with the runner at second base, he's on one knee. And he's on, and so to me, the emphasis with a runner in scoring position should not be on stealing a borderline strike. It's got to be being able to throw your shin guards in the dirt, not with one knee, with two, box it off the chest, and keep the runner in front of you. I can't stand it from a baseball. Maybe it's old school purist. That's fine. But
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But if you do it that way, I promise you, the throw to second wouldn't mattered because the runner wouldn't have ventured that far off the base.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jason is in Brooklyn starting us off. What's up, Jace?
Boys, good morning. Just the worst loss of the season by 7,000 miles. Horrendous. And I want to say that I think that this is concerning that the Mets are playing with their food a little bit now. They should have made the Rays go get their laundry and do their errands. And again, same with the Braves. They're not taking advantage of this critical stretch where they had, again, three against the Rays. They should have won that series. And then they have, what, 10 against the Phillies and Braves.
Well, why should they have won the Rays series? The Rays handed
They're better than the Rays. They didn't play like it, but I'm just saying,
They got swept. I mean, you can make a case they should have won the Friday night game. Okay, fine. They got swept. I don't think, and it happens. You're going to get swept. You're going to lose series. I wouldn't go nuts over that. That loss last night is a different story to me, Jason.
And Sal, I got a bone to pick with you on the Soto base running.
Yeah.
I get it that this is a long season and we have a billion more games. But that is just concerning because, as your partner pointed out, the ball's in front of him. And I get it. Soto's purpose on the team is to put the ball in the stands. But if that happens in September at a more critical period, I'm worried about it. And I was worried about this when they signed him because he's a great hitter, not a great fielder, not a good base runner, as, again, we saw last night. So this can't rear its head at a more critical time. That's all. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in Soto's defense, he's stolen some bases, and he's been adequate, maybe slightly better than adequate in the outfield, and he hasn't had many gaffes like that. But my issue is, it's the wrong baseball play. We could debate that. That's fine. Ball's in front of you. Look, see what happens.
Right.
You don't even need a first base coach or an umpire. Just get your ass back to first base. But, like, even aside from that, I didn't like the way he kind of just passed the buck post-game. Like, that's when you emerge, even though Lindor's the leader, a real certifiable leader on your new team. Thumb, chest, my bad, big spot, I got to be better. We all know he went yard. We all know he's been hitting the hell out of the baseball. His OPS is 1,300 in June. He's got 5 or 6 home runs. He looks like Soto. That was a moment, I thought, for him to grow in terms of stature in the clubhouse. And he showed that he's a little bit of a me guy, which has always been the knock on Juan Soto going back to San Diego.
Which is why I love him. I think the Mets need some of that. Like, if you want Juan Soto, you're not bringing him in to be a leader. You're not bringing him in to steal bases or run the bases well or play perfect defense. You're bringing him in to be Juan Soto. And there's going to be some great with that, and there's going to be some issues that rub people the wrong way. I value the great more than I do nitpick the other crap.
I get that. I truly do.
And I get what you're saying. Like, he's not a leader. But
just give
me
a little more balance. I'm not saying that he's got to be the first on the field, first in stretches, first in sprints, first in warm-up. I mean, but the play was so egregiously misread. All you got to do is say, guys, my bad, we'll get him tomorrow. He's blaming the umpire 30 minutes after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was odd that a player would be so definitive about looking to the umpire. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, but it should be a little bit of a balance. If he's not making a call, you got to make a decision.
Yeah, the first base coach knew.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that he was where he was supposed to be on the base paths, paying attention to what was going on. He clearly didn't know what was going on. And look, maybe he felt like he got too far off the base and he couldn't make it back and he made the excuse for the I have no idea. All I'm saying is that's, to me, Juan Soto did his job yesterday, setting the tone with the home run. He was on base three different times. That's what he's paid to do. If you want to see, now I know that I'm not alone, that you're not alone. I don't really care. He could get picked off the base paths. He could get, you know, doubled off. That crap is going to happen. I'll live with it because I love what he brings to the table offensively. That's why he's here, the difference maker that he is.
Yeah, no, listen, and not to just beat this to a bloody pulp, I get it to an extent. There's certain things I can't give a pass on. Like, I understand he doesn't lead like a Lindor or even a Judge. He's very different.
But you did give the Yankees a pass on the base paths over the weekend.
I'll tell you why.
Those are three different guys with their heads.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree with you.
Shoved up their rear end. Soto, was at least he was trying. So all I'm saying is if you're going to pick apart Soto, then get on the other three.
Well, I wasn't in yesterday, so yeah. I couldn't react to the disgrace the night before. Right. We're not talking about the Yankees now. I promise you I'm going to have a bit of a different tone with the Yankees today. You take that to the bank. The reason why, and I wouldn't say it was a pass, it was more contextualization with the Yankees, is because who are they? They haven't been that sloppy team this year. This version. There's been many issues the way the Yankees have been built over the years. This particular 2025 version, up until the last couple of games, has been fairly buttoned up. They've caught the ball better. They've been better on the bases. They've hit the ball well, and the numbers reflect that. So I didn't feel the need to bury them. Juan Soto, in his career, historically, has been a sloppy right fielder and a sloppy base runner.
Right.
No, that's the difference.
I get it, but to me, it's just one-off thing with them. I'd rather live with that. Mike and Bayonne, what's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing today?
Good.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, a couple things, guys. And then, BT, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Listen, Alvarez cannot be the everyday catcher going forward right now. The guy is a mess. Torrens right now is the better catcher. He's the better overall player.
I agree.
Second, Jared Young needs to go. Why this guy is on this roster is amazing.
Well, no, it's not. It's not. Hold on, Mike. Why do you think Jared Young's on this roster?
The guy's batting 100.
Mike. Why do you? There's an easy answer here. I'll help you out if you need it. Why do you think Young's on the roster?
I mean, he's a death piece. To be honest with you.
No. They're ravaged by injury. Jesse Winker, Vientos,
Siri.
Beatty, Siri. I mean, you name it. That's why.
Yeah, I'll give you that, okay. Sal. But you know what? In a big spot in the 10th inning with Marte on the bench, you cannot have that guy at the dish.
Different
in
argument.
A big spot. Okay?
What was your question, Mike?
BT, when did this stuff with the catchers start? When did catchers start beginning to just be on their knees, putting themselves in a bad spot to where the backhanding balls, they're not dropping down to their knees, blocking the ball with their chest? When did this style of catching start? Because if you ask me, these catchers are just putting themselves in bad spots. And we saw it last night with Alvarez.
No, they totally are. That's the thing. The throw to second was ridiculous in terms of awareness, but it was so preventable. To answer your question, I don't know the exact answer. I would say the trend really started, Sal, last 10, 12 years, more of an emphasis on framing. It's been a little bit.
Well, what about Tony Pena doing it in the 80s?
Tony did do it, yes, yes. Now, but he didn't do that with men on base, I don't think.
I don't recall that.
I can actually see it with the one leg out with the Pirates.
He did it famously in the 80s.
He did, for sure. But I don't think guys were on base, were they?
I mean, Benito Santiago used to throw from his knees.
Benito was nasty. Yeah. But that was different. That was like when the leg was stretched out. That was even more pronounced.
Just how they used to catch, not necessarily to frame pitches.
For sure. I mean, there are all numbers and all charts and analytics. And stealing pitches is an art. I mean, it does matter. That borderline 50-50 strike, if you present it, and that's why they teach the catchers, we were talking about this a month or so ago, to go from low to high. Because the umpire is right over the catcher, obviously, over his shoulder. And if he, even if it's a tick, you know, lower third of the zone, if he catches that and it's one motion, by the time it's presented to the ump, he thinks it's a strike. That's why the robo-umps, that's why I have always been robo-umps. What?
It's coming, too.
I want them to come because nightly they're missing pit both ways. By the Yanks and Mets get penalized, Yanks and Mets get rewarded.
Yeah.
But the so many things about baseball bother me. The framing, and that might be at the top of the list.
Trying to steal pitches.
I can't stand it.
Yeah,
because it takes away from the more important stuff.
I'm with you on that. BT, you're right. Same thing with the flopping in the NBA.
100%.
You're trying to deceive the official or the umpire, in this case, talking about framing.
Yeah.
That's not what the sport is supposed to be about. This is like Apollo and Drago.
I was just going to say, what's turning out the friendly Jacksonville? I swear to God, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I wasn't even
getting
thinking
a little bloody around here, Sal.
Yeah, dude.
Yikes.
So I said they haven't won since Friday, but that is incorrect because the Mets were off last Thursday, right? I forget the exact thing, but I know we were talking about, I think, Thursday.
Mm.
And then the Mets lost to the Rays Friday. Obviously, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox Friday. So they haven't won since before that. I don't know if they were both off that Thursday before. Maybe they won on the Wednesday. Whatever it is. They're 0-9 since Friday, both the Mets and Yankees. Things were looking great, and now they're looking awful with both teams crashing at the same time.
Silver lining is, I guess you would prefer to look bad now, which should kick the GMs in the ass to maybe accelerate a plan here to get some reinforcements.
Yeah, and we're not going
nuts about... Which is a deeper conversation.
Exactly, we're not going nuts about the season here, but we could certainly pick each team apart, and we're doing that. You know, I did a lot yesterday. I know we'll get to the Yankees having you back here, BT, and off another,
I don't know how to explain it.
29 and counting.
Can't hit.
But then the Mets cough one up. It was really shaping up to be a beautiful night.
Well,
Yanks game was in the books. I'm like, I cannot believe this team just got to a point where I didn't want to tweet it. I was going to say it today, but like to a point where if Goldschmidt just drove in the run, it would have felt like a win.
I know.
Like, just don't get blanked again.
All right,
the game is gone, but just score a freaking run to put that to bed. And they didn't. And then I'm watching the Mets thinking like, oh, this is great. Finally going to beat the Braves. Soto homer in this first at bat.
Yeah, getting everything ready, everything lined up. And then baseball happened. It torpedoed Sal's plan.
I did make a mistake. I texted my Uncle John laughing emoji. Because he's such a trash talker. I texted him prematurely and then it came back to bite me, of course. Ed is calling from Wontaw. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Eddie.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
I'll tell you, the thing that's starting to drive me a little bit nuts about Soto's defense is he fields the ball, and then he's like the bully that wants the guy to run on him, but he doesn't have the arm.
He actually does have a pretty good arm in terms of velocity. His accuracy is a little less than you would want, but he's got a good arm.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's daring guys to go. And then when he throws the ball, he doesn't hit the target.
I get that part. I mean, there's been a couple of plays at the plate. I remember one early. Thanks for the call there, Eddie. Shallow right field, and I believe it was Torrens. It was up the first base line. God, I forget who they were playing. it was at Citi Field, and like everybody's like, wow, what an amazing throw by Soto. Dude, you were 209 feet away, and you still put it up the first base lines. Torrens had to kind of catch it and swipe like a shortstop. But Juan Soto does have an above-average arm in terms of actual velocity.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a bad arm. Now, here's the thing. If you're not happy with Soto in right field, maybe you could find somebody like Alex Ochoa, who used to also wear 22 and had a cannon in right field. You could have Ochoa. Like, I understand that Juan Soto was going to be criticized here. And like, you could pick on him for the base running. You could pick on him for the lack of hustle. People have done that. I am not going to do that because I wanted him for other reasons. I know he's not a perfect player. Very few players are, if any, are perfect players. I mean, I'm sure if we watch Shohei Ohtani. By the way, Shohei Ohtani doesn't even he doesn't play the field. So now he's finally starting to come back pitching. Oh, okay, it's great. But he's also not perfect. Aaron Judge is not perfect. He's the best player that I've ever seen. He is not perfect either. So we could always find flaws in teams, in players, and nitpick. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not even nitpicking. Like, that's fair. If that bothers you maybe more than it does me, that's fine with whatever player it may be. I choose to not ignore it, but overlook it or just not focus on it because I'm focusing on the reason why he's here and what he does so well, maybe better than any Met that we've ever seen in our lives. That's what I focus on with Soto.
Yeah, and listen, the inconsistencies, I think, which at times have been a little overstated with his defense, but if that, or and his base running, if that pops up and it's October, whatever, and you and I are on the air doing our show, and that's a playoff game,
big problem.
You're not going to look the other way then. You know, you just hope it doesn't happen in a big spot. And just to be clear, my energy with that play is less about him getting a poor read and, you know, not knowing what to do, and it's just an ugly, ugly mistake. I obviously point that out. That can't happen. It was more about the lack of accountability post game.
Yeah,
which like, is just understood. Keeps blaming the umpire.
Yeah, and you're right. And maybe I'm making excuses for him just because I love him so much. Like I prefer if he said, you know what, that can't happen. That's on me. I made a mistake there. Of course.
Yes.
But I overlook. I don't really care about that because I just want him to be him. And do what he did, get on base three times, hit that big home run. That's who he is. Also, it wasn't a lack of effort. If he just wasn't paying attention and took off and ran through second and was going to third without looking back, that's a different story. He was there in position looking at it. All right, did he make it? Like, is it normal to say you're looking at the ump? I can't kill him for saying I was looking at the ump to make a sign. I'd like him to make a better play. I'd like him to not get doubled off in a spot where you wouldn't think somebody would get doubled off right there. But I don't think it was a lack of effort or baseball IQ. It just, I don't know what the hell that was. When was the last time you ever heard a player who got picked off like that was looking at the play say that, well, the ump didn't make a sign, so that screwed me up.
I've never heard that in my life. Which is why I've got to be a little harder on him than you are, because I think that's rare. It's to the point where, to answer your question, again, I don't think I've ever seen that.
You know, it's also, to me, BT, not the reason why they lost the game. So there are a lot, like Alvarez, to me, deserves the brunt of this.
You got on him, too. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't disagree. Yeah. Like, it fell apart hard.
Right.
It was an ugly loss. Now, my thing was, I get it, Braves, it's more intimate, rivalry. Yeah. Okay. To me, the way it unraveled late, I don't care if it's the White Sox, that's a deplorable loss. That's just bad fundamentals.
Hector's in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's up, guys? To me, there's not one real reason why they lost the game. They lost the game because they're playing horrible baseball. They've been playing horrible baseball for a while. And only the Mets can be 17 games over 500 in first place. All the Braves are out of it and still make you feel like crap. And still make you feel like a game on June 18th is a must win. That's the feeling right now. And Sal, I love you, bro. And I love Juan Soto. But you can't come in here killing Pete Alonso yesterday. You look like you had time to call. And they come in and try to excuse everything with Juan Soto.
Alonso looked great. Alonso looked great. That was part of last night, too. The fun feeling. Alonso looked like his normal self.
They all look bad. But you cheat. But you quit to pounce on Pete.
Pete was awful in the race series. I didn't even talk about Pete Alonso yesterday.
You were hammering him. You said exactly that.
On Monday.
Whatever the heck it was. Monday, whatever the heck it was. You can't, come on, Sal. You got to be fair, bro. And I know you love Soto. Maybe
Soto
you want to get
homered
him on the
yesterday and it set the tone.
And that was
he was on base
that
three
was
times.
Great. Listen to me. Okay, calm down, because I don't want you to cut me off. That was great. He came out there. He did exactly what we wanted.
Yes.
I was asking him. You need to be an impact player, but you can't then go and get thrown out on a play right in front of you and come as the umpire. You cannot do that. You're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed
Heck, is he really supposed to be a leader? That's one thing that I don't think he's ever been, and I don't think that he ever will be. I don't think he's built for it. He's not a leader. Just because you're a great hitter and you do certain things incredibly well doesn't mean that people follow you. And, you know, I know that there's some circumstances. The Nationals owner died, and the Padres, I guess, wasn't a great clubhouse, and he wanted to lead the Yankees for the Mets. But guy's been on four teams. Now, I'm not saying that he's a bad guy at all. I think he's a good guy. But I just think it's about his process and him remaining in that and less about what's going on around him. And that's good most of the time, unless you have such an embarrassing gaffe. You got to own it. That's all I'm saying. Look, I'm not saying throw him in Times Square and let stone the guy to death, hang him by his thumbs. I'm not saying that. But the lack of awareness post-game, to me, it's a bad look.
So yeah, and especially I'm not going to criticize him after he was on base three times with this tone-setting homer. That's what I wanted to see.
Well,
I wanted
to see was more of a tone-setter, though, the home run or the double getting doubled up?
I think the home run was. They were already lost at that point once they blew the 4-1 lead.
It's a tie game!
His first at-bat as a Met against the Braves in Atlanta, he homers. That's something that Met fans have been starved for. That's why you got him. And then he goes out there and was on base three different times. So I can't pick on him yesterday. There will be times where we get on him. By the way, I was first in this town to criticize Juan Soto and got ridiculed for that. So, like, which one is it? If a guy's, to me, and again, you may see it differently. Like, that's fine. I'm not arguing saying that it was a great play. I just wouldn't focus on that yesterday where I think that there were other reasons why the Mets lost that ballgame. Also, as far as the leader thing, he's not.
I know.
It's what makes Judge so special is that it happens to be the best player in the world is a great leader as well. The Mets, Piazza was never a leader. Beltran was not a leader. Oh, Soto's not a leader.
Mm-hmm.
David Wright was their best player, I guess, for a certain period. But then he had, you know, the back stuff, and then he really became their leader. So
yep, sure.
They've had players of great magnitude that just were not leaders, and that's okay. Not every great player has to be a leader.
I understand that. Not every great player is equipped to be a leader. Right. I mean, so those two little different things there. I think Lindor handles that post game differently. I know that Judge handles that differently. Now,
it took him 3 years.
Yeah. It took him a little bit to transition to the city. That's true. But Soto's been here for a year, so it shouldn't be, you know, as long. Judge handles that differently. Jalen Brunson handles that differently. And again, it's not to crucify the guy. And it's a sequence of reasons why they lost the game. It doesn't mean that it's terminal, but let's face it. There are certain losses, whether it's, you know, Jets, Dolphins, or Yankees, Red Sox, or Mets, Phillies, or Mets, Braves. It's just certain Islanders, Rangers. There are certain things that just pick a little deeper, and the wound is a little more, I don't know, deep. And I get it. I would also tell Mets fans, kind of tap the brakes. You're still good, provided you end this soon. That's where I would start getting worried. Four games, ugly. We'll get to the Yankees coming up. I still think the Mets are good, but you got to stop it starting tonight. You got to win this game. This is Ludicrousville, man. 29. This is never going to happen again in our lifetimes. This is how wacky this has been. 29 straight innings without a run. No Yankee team has ever failed to score a run in four games. So if the Yankees get shut out tonight, the Yankees do something they've never done since 1903. That tells you exactly where we are.
And it's not a record yet because of the two extra innings? Because obviously it's three games plus the two extra innings. Do we
that
know
is,
if it's a Yankee record?
I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't say that during the game last night, or not that I noticed.
They didn't. They did say that it's never happened four times, so hopefully it doesn't happen again. Get your act together, guys. Now, okay, understand there's context here. Before this drought started, and it is an alarming one, and I'll tell you why in a minute, maybe less obvious than you guys think. But before this, they had the most runs in the American League. So it's not like this is a season-long trend. It's the exact opposite. But 29 straight innings is just unacceptable. There is a complete breakdown in fundamentals. Guys not getting bunts down. Guys not moving runners over. I even thought, and I was off Tuesday. Yeah. Now, it got lost in some of the other details and malfunctions. I thought Aaron Judge, who, listen, he's the man, but diving to that ball in the ninth inning, that just tells you that team is pressing. It's a tie game. It's a sinking liner. You give up the base hit. You don't risk diving for it, missing it, having it get to the wall, which it did, and having the Angels get a triple out of it.
Or getting hurt.
Well, that too.
God forbid.
That's how he's gotten hurt that way a few times. But that is another example. It's not just hitting. I think there's been a lot of sloppy elements. The base running's been a disaster. Now, to me, which is distressing enough, having no runs in 29 innings, but to me, the biggest issue, again, even though I still think it's better than it has been, but it's not good enough, which is the only point, is look at the extra inning failures. If you can't win in extra innings, that is a direct shout from the top of the mountain that you don't do the little things well enough. Because when it's the extra innings, you're either facing a high leverage setup man or usually a closer, which is what you see in October, by the way, with these elite arms. So I know the Yankees are good, but I would be less than truthful if I didn't say that I thought that they were better than this. I absolutely did.
I thought Monday night was way worse because of, dude, three innings in a row. Stan leads off with a double in the ninth inning. They can't score a run. 10th inning goes for an 11th inning. They couldn't score a run.
I know. Volpe swing at the first pitch. Now, and he taps out to third base. He rolls over an outside slider. Yeah. If you go after the first pitch, I thought I saw something that you said yesterday, like if you tell him to take a pitch, like it's a little league, you shouldn't have to tell him to take a pitch.
Yeah.
I actually agree with that, but that's a pitch recognition thing. I don't mind you swinging at the first pitch. This is not like, wow, we're overmatched and we're facing some 12-year-old kid who nobody can touch. Let's hope we get a few guys over the wall.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But you got to know what to swing at. There is no way you attack a slider that was 9 inches outside and try to pull it. I was just embarrassing.
But my point was that I think a caller was calling up Rippin' Boone, and I was saying, what do you want him to do?
Yeah.
That to me is on Volpe. It's not on Boone saying, hey.
I agree with that. That is on Volpe.
Boone's going to go to Volpe and say, hey, don't swing the bat. This isn't the little leagues here.
Yeah.
It's the major freaking leagues, which was my issue with Volpe, who's just, to me, in year three. Anyway, there's a lot there. I wouldn't get hung up on, while it is, I mean, fun for some, aggravating for others, while it is a talking point, the 29 innings, to me, it's more than that. It's not just 29 scoreless innings, which is mind-boggling.
It really is. It's mind-bending.
Like, yeah, a team like that in that ballpark couldn't score a singular run, including with the extra innings with guys given to you on second base. But also, if you go back a little bit further, even the game that they won in Kansas City, the whole weekend against Boston, you know, and Tol Judge's home run, even the time they scored the three runs in the game on Saturday, I think it was, you know, they scored those runs late. So just the offense overall, it should never get to this point. I know teams go through slumps, but this is more than a slump. This is like, wow, how could they go from hitting a billion home runs and scoring 10 runs, like they bludgeon people, and then at times they can't score any runs? That has been the Yankees' biggest issue dating back years. What they usually have success with in the regular season, pounding people offensively, goes away in the postseason.
Yeah, we've seen it.
Whether it's Judge, anybody else, like that, it continues to be the problem. And I think that it's a flaw with that lineup, the way that it's constructed.
And I'm getting tired of having to do this, but I mean it. This is why when the conversation, you know, this is why I defend Aaron Boone more than some others.
Be careful now.
What?
I was getting calls yesterday. Oh, Boone is your boy. You won't be teaming.
Is that what they were saying?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fair enough. But at least I know that I've been saying this before we got to know Aaron a little bit. You know what I mean? So there's consistency there. I mean, I don't know what the hell you expect when Trent Grisham's batting leadoff for a month or so. I mean, what's happened now? There's been a reverting back to pretty much who some of these players have been.
Yes.
Now the
even
Yankees,
Goldie.
Goldie's, I like him. Goldie's had a few balls that he's hit very
correct.
Hard.
He's still giving good at bats.
He hit a line drive to right, hit one that I thought, and when he first hit, I'm like, is that down the left field line? Is that gone? Maybe the Rays seams kept it in the yard. Maybe we got a problem with the baseballs. Maybe that's why the Yankees can't hit the baseballs, the stupid seams. But the Yankees, to me, there are still two massive fundamental issues with the way they're constructed. And this is not a Boone thing. This is a Brian Cashman thing. Number one, still have no leadoff hitter. Still. The Yankees, I think they haven't had a leadoff hitter basically since Chuck Knobloch. All right? And I know that's not quite true, but you get the point. So they don't have a leadoff hitter. Now you throw Dominguez in, and I like that they tried to mix it up a little bit.
Yes.
But it ain't going to be Grisham, and it ain't going to be Dominguez. So you don't have a leadoff hitter when it matters down the road. And you still, for me, you can tell me Stanton, and I like Stanton, you still don't have enough protection right behind Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, there are issues with that Yankee lineup. Now, just like I expected him yesterday to bounce back and have a big offensive outburst, you would expect that to, like, at some point.
I do expect it, but it's frustrating. But it also illuminates what's, like, this is not a mirage. Like, the Yankees are going to win 94, 95. Right. Yeah, they're going to win the division, I still believe. But this is not, like, wow, what's happening here? The reason this is happening is because the Yankees are not built the way they need to be built.
Look at the Angels lineup. Look at the Yankees lineup.
Yep.
How could the Angels score 4 or 5 runs, whatever it may be? They put the ball in play, they move a guy over, they get a sack fly. Like, it shouldn't be impossible to score a singular run. That's the focus. Not just that they lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, that
crap happens throughout the course of a long season. It's like, how could you be, with this much talent and potential, because really a lot of it is potential, especially with the younger guys.
I agree with that.
With that much potential, How do you get blanked at Yankee Stadium? That is impossible to fathom.
Well, one more thing, real fast. I don't really do this because it's not my lane, but last night it was so obvious I got to give this 30, not even 30, real fast. Yeah. So, okay, one thing to get blanked and get tied up in knots and put up a few zeros and have this prolonged run of no offense. It's disconcerting, but it's still baseball and whatever. Their approach last night was unacceptable. They knew every pitch was going to be 87, 88, 89, and they didn't really make a single adjustment. Like, we talk about Tom Thibodeau, pick and roll, three-point, transition D, adjustments. We talk about it less in baseball because it's even in football, that's always obvious. Like, stop the run, make the adjustment, we did this. Baseball, the only adjustments really are pitch-to-pitch in the batter's box. And, you know, and Frazier did, and I like Garrett Cole in the booth last night, too. Frazier said, hey, it looks like it's coming in 88. How do you not hit it? Well, there's a lot of movement. I understand that. But the movement's different from being out in front. And I thought too often the Yankees were out in front and they just didn't read the speed. Not the location, which I get, to Frazier's point, the speed. And to me, that just can't happen. The guy's throwing meatballs, dude. Yeah. So keep your hands back. Keep your weight back.
There's a lot of movement on the ball. Yeah, well, that's why they're big leaguers.
And there wasn't. He'd be in double A throwing 88.
Come on. All right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all-stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.